In this season before Christmas, the season of Advent in the church, we are looking at people's responses to God's Word. And the shepherds, about whom we hear at Christmas time, were given the word of Jesus' birth by the messengers of God. The word angel means messenger. And when the message was delivered, the shepherd's response was, well, let's go see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. And so the question is for you about what you believe. What is your response to what the Lord has made known? Our affirmation of faith is from Ephesians in the second chapter. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household. I would just make a comment that those preached who were far away were the people who were not Jews, the Gentiles, and the peace preached to those who were near were God's people, the Jews. Both have access to the Father by the one Holy Spirit, and the Gentiles who were foreigners and strangers to God because they did not know are now fellow citizens with God's people and also members of the household of God. The scripture reading for today is just the same as last week, except it's a continuation in Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 8 this time, as we look more at Herod, King Herod. And so we read, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. The theme at Daleville Christian Church for Advent and Christmas this year is fairly straightforward. Our theme is, don't miss Christmas. Don't miss Christmas again this year. The theme is based on a very real concern in our society that children might miss Christmas if they do not have gifts to open on Christmas Day. It's the founding principle of our participation in Operation Christmas Child. Operation Christmas Child provides Christmas boxes to thousands of children worldwide with the message of Jesus' love. Muncie's own program, Secret Families, was started with the intention of ensuring that everyone receives gifts for Christmas, and with Secret Families, that includes the Christmas dinner, a Christmas tree, and a Bible. I appreciate the sentiment. I share the feeling. And I wonder, and I'm hoping, that we can broaden our concern for adults. We don't want adults to miss Christmas. And by that, we mean we don't want them to miss the gift of the Savior, Jesus. We were all of us promised a Savior, promised by the Lord God. This Savior came from the Lord God as Jesus, whose birth at Christmas we celebrate. I was sure to mention this at the funeral on Friday for the family for whom we prayed today. Many people do not know that our Lord Jesus has come for them. Many do not know that our Lord Jesus came for them. To save them from their sins, to make their lives better, to rescue them from their own hand, to rescue them from some of their own decisions, or more profoundly, to give them a new life, a new way of life, a new way to see things. I don't want you to miss Christmas. I don't want anyone to miss Christmas. And I certainly don't want anyone to miss Christmas again. As we look to God's Word in the Bible, we see that the Bible does show us some people who did miss Christmas when Jesus was born. Last week, we looked at some of the priests, the ones who were a part of King Herod of Judea's entourage. Those wise men of the Jews could direct the wiser men from Arabia to Bethlehem, but those same priests did not join in the joy of the wiser magi from the east. Those priests in Herod's entourage missed it. They missed Christmas. You don't have to miss Christmas. You can share in the joy of the magi. Not only did the high priests miss Christmas, the religious leaders of Judaism, so did their king, Herod, the Herod history knows as Herod the Great. Herod the Great is our topic today. Herod, King Herod, and for those of you in the Bible study on Wednesday nights, we have looked at Herod's grandson, Herod Antipas. Herod in today's Bible verse is the original Herod. And he is known to history as Herod the Great. Herod the Great, he would have loved that title. Herod wanted to be known as a great man. Herod would have liked to have been even greater. Herod wasn't really satisfied with his achievements. Herod wanted more. Herod might have wanted to be given a position in Rome itself. It's probably what he wanted. But Herod did rule his homeland as king. Now today I'm drawing our attention to one aspect of Herod, the aspect of faith. But you and I know that people are a mix of good and bad. And however we feel about that, we tend to not like to accept that opposite part in other people. People generally want to see themselves as good and see everyone else as either good or bad. And I'm sorry, but that's not how reality works. Let's just take Adolf Hitler as an example, a person almost everyone can agree was evil and bad. Adolf Hitler was kind to children. The children who came in contact with Hitler called him Uncle Adolf. Now, I'm not suggesting that anyone ever wanted Hitler to babysit for them, but Hitler, although evil, was able to show a different side of himself to others, and he often did. This is in large part why Adolf Hitler is so creepy. He can attend to the deaths of thousands in the morning, or at least see to it that thousands of people die, and then attend your wedding later in the day. So with that in mind, about people, we have some idea about our feelings concerning Herod the Great. None of Herod's family come away looking very good in the New Testament. They are tyrants, despots. They appear to be the Hitlers and Stalins of Jesus' day. But Herod was not seen that way by everyone. Herod was a human being like you and me. Yes, Herod the Great, king of ancient Judea, was a brutal, ruthless, vindictive, and dangerously high-strung tyrant. He had many of his subjects killed on suspicion of plotting against him, and he still stands accused of slaughtering children in Bethlehem when informed that a new king of the Jews had been born there. Among the other victims of the murderous paranoia he had were his three oldest sons and the wife he claimed to love the most. But there was another side to Herod the Great. The question remains whether anyone really cares that there was another side to Herod the Great. No one cares that Hitler was kind to children. But just as Hitler was able to transform Germany from a strife-ridden, economically depressed nation to be a showcase demonstrated in the 1938 Olympic Games in Berlin, just as Hitler was able to do, Herod transformed his once strife-ridden kingdom into a more modern, economically thriving, orderly state of international significance and repute within the sprawling Roman Empire. That is, in the area of politics and statecraft, although bloodthirsty, Herod was skilled and achieved great things for Judea and for himself. However, Jesus' own words come back to us. Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In his own time, Herod gained the world. Herod had it all: fame, a good reputation, and fame in Rome, the capital of the whole world. Herod had built great buildings and fortresses. Even the temple of the Lord God was a marvel in its day and drew the admiration of even Jesus' disciples. Herod was rich and powerful. He was, if not smart, clever, and politically polished and politically accomplished. He did what few could do. But you and I know that Herod's soul was in mortal danger. Herod was liable to judgment. And that is where we focus today. Herod the Great was a Jew. Herod was one of Jesus' own people. Herod was one of Paul the Apostle's people. And what did Paul write about his own people in the letter to the Romans? Chapter 9. "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and promises. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Paul goes on in chapter 10, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did," wrote the Apostle Paul. And friends, we know that Herod heard the word about the Messiah when the Magi came with their startling question, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" There and then was the moment of crisis for Herod. There was the moment of decision for Herod. Herod even betrays that he knows the correct and true response. Herod sent the Magi to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." That was the correct response. But that was Herod, the clever politician, talking. These were not the words of Herod the Jew. Was Herod lying? Yes, but it wasn't that simple. It was more a half-truth. Herod knew politics. Herod knew that this was the best thing to say politically. By so saying, Herod confirms the wise men in their quest. Herod was giving the idea by saying what he said, saying, "You wise men are indeed wise. You are right to seek the newborn king. You're so correct in what you are doing. I will come after you and likewise worship this new king." And Herod tells a half-truth. Herod does want the Magi to find Jesus. Herod wants to find Jesus and get to Jesus. But Herod would never bow down to Jesus. Herod did not want Jesus as Herod's ally. Herod wanted Jesus dead. Herod, as a Jew, is a recipient of God's promises. God with you, Emmanuel, a Savior, the Messiah. "The Lord whom you seek will come to you," said the prophets of the Jews. But Herod does not seek a relationship with God. Herod's other relationships are more important, more vital, more worldly. And so Herod will, as Jesus said, gain his whole world. But Herod will lose his own soul. And what would Herod profit after Jesus' birth? Well, Herod would be on his throne a few more years, and his children's children would reign after him until it all came crashing down by 70 AD. Some 70 years after this moment Jesus was born, Herod's great temple would be torn down, not one stone left upon another, as Jesus predicted. The kingdom Herod built would be pulled apart by the Romans. Friends, Herod missed Christmas. Herod missed Christmas when God had planned for Herod to receive Christmas as a Jew, as one of the children of Abraham, as one of God's chosen people. Herod should have been glad that the promise was coming to fulfillment. But Herod missed it. Even when the announcement was made of Messiah's coming was delivered like UPS to Herod's own doorstep. Delivered like Amazon.com. And Herod knew the right answer. Herod knew that the correct answer was to go and worship at Jesus' tiny feet, but Herod would not go. Herod would not send a gift as the wise men did. Herod would send a sword. A sword to slay the Messiah, come to fulfill the promise made to Herod and Herod's people. Herod would miss Christmas that year. Herod would miss Christmas every year. Herod would miss Christmas every year for the rest of his life. Herod would never call upon the name of his Lord. Herod would never enter the kingdom of God. And before Jesus became a young man, Herod would be dead. Herod the Great would be dead forever. What were the angels' words to the shepherds? "Behold, I send you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people." Why were no angels sent to Herod's palace? Did the Lord send no angels to Herod's palace because the wise men were going to Herod's palace? And the wise men would deliver the news of the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, the King of the Jews? Or did no angels make announcement of Jesus' birth at Herod's palace because those angels would have been wasting their words? The angels did not waste their words on poor shepherds. When the angels declared, "I bring you great tidings of a great joy which shall be to all. For to you is born this day a Savior." And the shepherd's response, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known." Herod would lose his soul. But notice what else Herod lost. Herod lost everything else that went with it. Herod missed the joy. The angel said it was good news of a great joy for all. Herod would never know that joy. Herod would never rejoice in God, his Savior, and Herod would miss it all, even though a Savior was born for Herod. "To you is born a Savior," said the angels. Herod would not receive the gift that had his name on it. Herod missed Christmas. We might ask ourselves, and we might ask others, will you rejoice with me? Will you receive with me the joy God intended in sending Jesus the Messiah, the Christ? Will you receive a Savior born to you? Will you receive Jesus who came for you? Will you receive a good news of great joy for all people, includes you and everyone else? It's a gift. There are no strings attached. The gift is as gifts are. The gift was and the gift is free and freely given, freely shared. And with love, so you can have a saved soul. So you and I can be a part of God's kingdom. Won't you? Amen.